Jesus Christ at the beginning. As I said, only a small portion of that initial group remains, because many have passed on to be with the Lord. Many others who identified with the work of God subsequent to its inception have also passed on to be with the Lord. And we salute them as well. We salute those who were there at the beginning. We salute those who stood with the Lord's people and with the work of God after 1966, but have also gone home to heaven. And those who are here tonight, who are the present members and friends of this congregation, you are the church of this moment that meets in this house. And I trust that the Lord will bless you tonight and also in days to come. And may this meeting be an encouragement to all of you and to all who have gathered for this special occasion. That's our prayer, that's our longing, that this night will be a great encouragement to everyone as we meet before God. But above everything else tonight, we lift our Ebenezer to the Lord. And we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We rejoice in the triune God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We rejoice in God's divine purpose to gather a people from the nations of this earth to be his people through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the Lord's people here in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church are part of that company. We praise God that he saw fit to raise up a witness in this town to his own name these 50 years ago. And we rejoice that he has blessed this church over these years and that he continues to do so in his mercy. And so tonight we want to lift our hearts to the Lord in thanksgiving and in praise for all that he has done for us. And we pray that this meeting in its entirety will be one of rich blessing to all who have gathered. And may the Lord's power be felt among us as we worship him and we rejoice in all that we will hear. Let me just at this point also welcome everybody. I know there may be some people still coming in, but I had planned to do this now, and I will do it. I want to welcome the members and friends of this congregation. I want to welcome visitors from this area or farther afield. I want to welcome our webcast audience, and also then the ministers who are here in the congregation tonight, the Reverend George White and his wife, the Reverend Mrs. Joan Armstrong, who will be here. They had another engagement today and are running a little late, but in the will of the Lord, they will be here. And the Reverend Paul Thompson and his wife and family, the Reverend Mrs. Stephen Pollock and their family, and the Reverend David Brown. I'm not sure whether Lydia's here or not, David, but anyhow, I know you've been having your times of trial with your little one, but it's good to see your brother, Mr. Brown, and his little lad here tonight. The Reverend Paul Fitzsimons, who was the first assistant to Mr. Beggs way back in the early 1990s, and his wife. We're glad to see Mr. and Mrs. Fitzsimons here tonight, and the Reverend Ian Kenny and his wife, and we welcome you people very heartily. I know the Reverend Leslie Curran's here. If there are any other ministers, we welcome you all, and we trust the Lord will bless this time this evening. We're going to turn, therefore, to our opening praise.
Together and seek God's face tonight in prayer. For all the Lord has done for us, we never shall cease to praise him. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we take this opportunity to draw nigh to thee, to come boldly unto thy throne of grace. And yet, O Lord, as we do draw nigh, we are conscious of two very important things. First of all, we are conscious of our nothingness. And as we have been singing in this opening psalm, we have been made conscious of the greatness of the God, and to his presence we come. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Calvary. We thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed there. Blood shed for sinners, shed for rebels. And praise God, all those who can say, shed for me. And so, Lord, we bow in thy presence this evening to give you thanks for all that has passed, how many precious memories we have, even over many of those 50 years. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful mantle of God falling upon the pastors who have pastored and overseen the work here as under shepherds sent and raised up by God the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all who have gathered together here this evening in this service of thanksgiving. For, O God, we do remember times of the richest blessing when God poured out his blessing upon this congregation. We thank you, Father, for those who prayed. We thank you, Lord, for the great promise you gave to your servant, Mr. Beggs, way back in 1975. That mission conducted by Dr. Paisley in Ballymena Town Hall. Try me and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Lord, thy people, believing in a prayer, stood upon that promise. And truly, Lord, you were pleased to pour out your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the many who walked those aisles. Even, Lord, some were under such a burden of conviction, they weren't able, Lord, to walk the aisle alone. They had to be helped. We thank you for every one of them. Lord, this was a highlight in this work, this shepherd as witness in Ballymena. But Lord, there are too many to remember this evening. We have received many, many blessings from the faithfulness of those men you raised up. And tonight we praise God for them. We thank you, Lord, for all who have come here. We thank you, Father, for your hand of blessing upon them too. O gracious Heavenly Father, may it be noised abroad, Lord, that this is not the end, the best is yet to be. Lord, you set your mantle upon those servants. You called them, Lord, to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And praise God for the reward that has been reaped. And we are here tonight, Lord, to show our appreciation for all the Lord has done for us and never will cease to praise him. We just have to look at this congregation and say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Heavenly Father, we have been reminded of many of those who have been called home. Their ministry on this earth has come to an end. But praise God, their ministry in the Lord's presence has only begun. It will not be a ministry, Lord, recorded in terms of years. But praise God, it is eternal. We thank you, Lord, for the precious memories we have of them, of how they encourage us, of how, Lord, their prayers were even a challenge to us. We praise you, Lord, that the ones who occupied this pulpit were not afraid, Lord, to instruct and exhort the people of God in the place of prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, fruit has been reaped. Sheaves have been gathered in. And yet, O God, there is still a work to do. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Mr. Beggs. Thank you, Father, for his teaching. Thank you, Lord, he was a man who not only loved the Word of God, but a man who lived the Word of God, a living epistle known and read to the blessing of many. Thank you, Lord, for Mr. Greer here tonight, for the times he spent together, Lord, in the theological hall. When you called him back, Lord, from the land of America to be the under-shepherd of this flock here, Lord, it was in thy will. It was in thy time. Now be pleased, Lord, to bless all who would take part in this meeting this evening. We do commit them unto you. And may this congregation know the very presence of the Spirit of God. So, Heavenly Father, be pleased to rest and abide upon us, we pray. For we thank you for all that has passed. We look to thee in anticipation for all that is yet to come. All these things we ask, giving thanks in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
First of all, could I thank Mr. Greer for his very kind and generous words of welcome back to Ballymena. It goes without saying that it's a great joy for me to be present tonight on this historic occasion and to look back over the past 50 years. Good to see some who were with us on the very first morning, Sunday morning, when this congregation was constituted, and to see many of the old congregation still around and still with us. But we're delighted also to see so many newer folk who have come under Mr. Greer's ministry and are here with us tonight. We welcome you all in the Lord's great name. I see the Reverend Ian Gallagher down there as far away as Vancouver and his wife, and we do welcome them very warmly in the Lord's great name. We're going to read together a few verses from God's Word that are found in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We'll commence our reading at the first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. And God will bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures to each of our hearts. This congregation in Ballymena was constituted at a meeting in the Gospel Tabernacle down in Waveney Road on the 4th of November 1966. A few days earlier, Dr. Paisley and his two brethren, the Reverend John Wiley, the Reverend Ivan Foster, had just been released from their unjust imprisonment in Crumlin Road Prison. The blessing of God fell in power upon the Free Church in a remarkable way after that imprisonment. Their only crime was to lead a perfectly legal parade to the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland to protest against the apostasy and departure from truth, which was then so very evident. These three faithful ministers were convicted on a charge of unlawful assembly, which could not be, and indeed was not, substantiated. After that, the Holy Spirit moved with power here in Ulster, and rallies and missions were arranged throughout the province during and after their imprisonment. And God was pleased in his mercy to call out many faithful souls in obedience to his word and in opposition to the persecution of the true church of Jesus Christ. The result was that many new congregations, including this one, were formed. And these are sometimes called the prison churches of the Free Church. It was a blessed reviving and a pouring out of the Spirit of God across our nation, and many congregations were constituted. That false imprisonment marked a turning point in the witness of our denomination. On that memorable night in Ballymena, a great crowd of people gathered, and they were here to hear Dr. Paisley preach, to witness the constitution of this congregation, and to support Dr. Paisley for his faithful stand for God in the province of Ulster. And there was a distinct spirit of expectancy in that congregation. It was a very fervent meeting, a very happy meeting, and we felt the Lord's presence in the midst. Earlier in that year, I had resigned from the teaching profession and was given a unanimous call from the little tabernacle congregation, the independent congregation in the Waveney Road, to be their pastor. We then, as a congregation, applied to the presbytery, and we were eventually accepted as a constituted congregation in the Free Church. And so at that meeting, Dr. Paisley was present, and there was a tremendous turnout of people. In fact, the little hall was completely packed out, and there were many waiting outside. Dr. Paisley preached that evening with great power and great acceptance. He preached upon that text in Hebrews chapter 13, in the verses 12 and 13, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And he faithfully called men to separation unto God and to the gospel, and many responded at that evening service." Among others who were present were the Reverend John Wiley, Dr. John Douglas, Dr. S.B. Cook, the Reverend Ivan Foster, and the Reverend Cecil Maneri, who was then the clerk of presbytery. There were also two special American guests, Dr. Carl McIntyre, moderator of the Bible Presbyterian Church in North America, and Dr. Marion Reynolds from the same church in South America. They had come over specially to encourage and to meet Dr. Paisley and to commend him for his fearless stand for God. On the following Sunday, after that meeting for the Constitution, I was led to preach on the chapter from which we have read this evening in Joshua chapter 1. And I took as my text that verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." It was a message of encouragement, not only to the little congregation, but also to the preacher. First of all, there was a look backward. "As I was with Moses." I was very conscious that I was following in the footsteps of a most godly and faithful man of God in the person of Pastor James Kyle Paisley, who had ministered in this town for well over 32 or 33 years. I knew that I could never measure up to his spiritual stature and his power in preaching the word. But I did know, however, I was clearly called of God to this congregation and to this town and to the work in Ballymena. And I knew also that each man must develop his own personal ministry under God as the Lord enables him. The separatist witness then in Ballymena did not start with the formation of the Free Church here in 1966, but reached right back to the beginning of the pastor's ministry here in 1933, when he came out from the Baptist Union of Great Britain and Ireland, which had seriously departed from the truth, and he formed an independent work on the Waveney Road. At first they met up near the bridge on the Waveney Road in Kane's showrooms, where at the first meeting Miss Jeannie Clark was wonderfully and gloriously saved, and she remained with us right through until we had this building opened and she laid one of the foundation stones. That decision to come out from the Union and stand independently for God was a major step of faith, taken at great personal cost and meaning much sacrifice for the pastor, his wife, and their family. But God met their need, and I know with close association with the family circle that sometimes the going was difficult and their faith was sorely tried, but they stood faithful to God and to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. A building was eventually erected on the Waveney Road and was known as the Gospel Tabernacle. Most of the work was done by voluntary labour. They even made the concrete blocks for building by hand on the farm of one of the early godly elders, Mr. Charles Beattie, the father of the Reverend William Beattie, and father of Mrs. Douglas and Mrs. Foster, two of our minister's wives. They brought them in by horse and cart, I believe, into the town here from the other side of Brisheen. So they were determined that nothing would deter them in seeking to establish a witness and a sound testimony for God in this district. The foundation stone for that building was laid on the 17th of October 1934 by the famous minister of Jarvis Street Baptist Church in Toronto, Dr. T.T. Shields, who was a valiant defender of the faith in that particular generation. The completed building was opened on the 27th of March 1935 by Pastor Archibald MacFadden from Edinburgh. Under the pastor's ministry, the work was established and a small faithful band stood with him. And in their confession of faith launched that day, they covenanted to stand with Christ in this evil day for all that he is for and against all that he is against. And they most certainly did so. Pastor Kyle Paisley was an uncompromising Bible stalwart. He was like a man born out of his time. He saw the dark cloud of ecumenical apostasy approaching and lifted up his voice in faithful warning at its deceptions and dangers. Through good report and evil report, he maintained a witness for the word of God and for the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have often said it, and I say it again, the Free Church owes a great debt of gratitude to that gracious and godly man, for he laid foundations upon which other men have built in succeeding generations, both here and in other places. Pastor Paisley, after his retirement, remained with us as a highly respected senior figure, and his very presence with us in the pulpit each Sunday was a benediction in itself. He was called home to glory on the 22nd of July 1973, just a year after his wife had passed away. Mrs. Paisley, too, was a tremendous support to her husband. She had a heart for souls and a heart for the young people and for the children. And she did a great work in the Sunday school and among the young people of the congregation. But on that first Sunday morning in November 1966, we also look forward. For it says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." What wonderful promises those were to us as a little band as we looked forward and anticipated all that was before us. We were assured then that the same unfailing God would be with us as he was with our fathers. And of course, over the coming years, we have proved the faithfulness of God. It was a step of faith, not only for our congregation, for that little congregation, but also for our family. When we took that step of faith, the finances of the church were very small, and indeed they called me at a salary of £14 a month, £14 a week, which doesn't seem much today, but to them as a little congregation was more than was coming in at that particular time. So it was a step of faith for them, a step of faith for our family. But new every morning are God's mercies, and his faithfulness is sure. And God met every need, and we rejoice tonight in the goodness and in the mercy of God. That first Sunday morning back in November 66, we had only about 30, maybe 40 people worshipping with us. And God graciously, in his goodness, increased the congregation. Sometimes a new family appeared every Sunday. New families brought children, and so the Sunday school increased. As Roy Sampson, one of our present senior elders, and a faithful band of teachers led the work, started up our first children's meetings. Soon the tabernacle, as we knew it, was filled. There was a wooden partition along the back, which partitioned off a little room at the back for the weekly prayer meetings. We had to take that down, and soon that area was packed as well, and God was bringing in sometimes families every week. The Reverend Hillis was mentioned a few moments ago, and I remember well someone coming up to me and saying to me, "Do you know who was in this morning? Hillis Fleming was in." And I never thought I would see him inside the Free Presbyterian Church, but the Lord brought him in, and thank God he remained to be a highly commendable minister of the gospel in the years to come. We then moved to the town hall for our morning service and continued to meet in the tabernacle for the evening. It was at that stage that we began to consider and to pray and to plan towards a new building. And eventually we bought this present site here on the Tomb Road. After the 75 mission, when God signally blessed and added to the numbers, we had to move both the services to the town hall, and soon we began our building program here on the Tomb Road. The first sod was cut on this site by Dr. Paisley on the 2nd of October 1976, and the foundation stones were laid on the 6th of May 1978. A landmark in our history was reached when on the 1st of September 1979, our moderator declared this building open for the preaching of the word and to the glory of God. And God in his mercy continued to bless and increase the work and the congregation here. The desire of our hearts at that time was expressed in the text which remains behind me in the pulpit tonight, preach the word. I remember saying some things at the opening that day, that if ever there was a day when the word was not preached in this house, that I would gladly see this house pulled down or turned into a supermarket. It would do more good as a supermarket than to have a ministry that had deviated from the word of God and did not declare the whole counsel of God in the gospel. I think I said one or two other rough things. I must have been rather a rough customer back in those days. But I remember saying something about taking him from the pulpit if he wasn't preaching the gospel, and also mentioning something about the river, little river down there at the gate. But we'll not dwell on that tonight. This church has not only been a preaching church, and thank God for that. Right down to this present day, this has been a preaching church, but it was also a protesting church, a Protestant church. So that's what Protestant really means. And we were not only a preaching church, but a Protestant church. We made many faithful and successful protests against the desecration of the Lord's name and against the desecration of the Lord's day. One of the first was against the blasphemous film, Jesus Christ Superstar, at the Tower Cinema. It's no longer there. It was down there where the police station is now standing. And I looked at a photograph not so very long ago, and I saw a lot of people. Some of them, I think, are maybe even grandfathers and grandmothers now, and they were there out with our youth making a protest at the showing of that blasphemous film. Another important one was against the Texas store, if you remember it. It was the first big business that came to Ballymena and the first big business to open on a Sunday. We held a protest throughout the whole day, even during the service. We had a little group there outside the gate of the Texas store. And we had a meeting in the afternoon, and we maintained the protest until the end of that day. And that was one of the most successful protests we ever held, because the next Sabbath day, they closed, and they never opened again on a Sunday. In fact, it wasn't so very long until they closed the doors and the business entirely and disappeared from Ballymena. There were also a series of protests against Sunday opening of the swimming pool. And those went on over, I think, 5 or 6 years or even longer. And also against the opening of the shops on the Sunday, the public houses, and of course against different ecumenical gatherings, which we believed were contrary to the Word of God. The Youth Fellowship was commenced in 1973, and it played a big part in the testimony of the church here in Ballymena. I was counting up the names of those who were called from our church to serve the Lord under the ministry of Mr. Greer and myself and the pastor, Pastor Paisley. And I think I counted 15 different people who went forth from this congregation, most of them to minister here in Ulster. Our sister Joanne, of course, also went out to the mission field. And there were, I think, 15 of them I counted in all. And 8 of them came through from the Youth Fellowship. They were with us, first of all, in the Youth Fellowship. So it did play a very important part in the testimony here. We organized a number of summer visits to Scotland. They're still talked about. Some of those sleepless nights which I had to spend to keep them in order. And we traveled in old buses tied together with wire and binder twine. And the driver wasn't much better sometimes. I drove them sometimes. He was sometimes tied together with wire and binder twine as well to keep him from sleeping as he drove the bus. One of our present elders links back beyond the youth work in the Free Church. He links back to the Gospel Tabernacle. I met him first when I was engaged in a very important event for me. And that event was meeting my future in-laws for the first time. Now, that's a pretty difficult thing to do, especially when it's the Paisley family, and you know Dr. Paisley will be present as well. But I went down to a little place in County Down, and there was a camp there of the young folk from the Gospel Tabernacle. And among them, there was one of our elders. And he was in shorts. And I've got to say it, he wasn't a pretty sight in shorts. And if you've ever seen Wilbur Clark in shorts, you'll know it wasn't a pretty sight. He was determined that day to give me a hard time. And he, and his with his partners in crime, were dressed up as Indians, and I became the poor cowboy who was sorely tried by them. Little did I think, and little did he think, that one day he would be an elder in this congregation and I would be the minister in the pulpit. Little did we think. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I also remember, after we commenced the youth fellowship, a young, well-built farming boy arrived in our fellowship. He reminded me of what was said of David over there in 1 Samuel 16 and 12. You remember Samuel had come to anoint the king. Jesse had not brought David in. And Jesse was instructed to bring in David. And it says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Well, this young man who came to the fellowship, he was ruddy, for he was coming from the farm and milking the cows. I'm not so sure about the beautiful countenance, but I know a certain young lady who thought he had a beautiful countenance, and she is his wife today. Of course, that young man was your present pastor and minister, the Reverend John Greer. I know now that God called him and sent him here, for he had marked him out to be the future pastor and the under-shepherd of the Church of Christ in this town, and we thank God for him. And let me pay tribute tonight to his faithful and his mighty ministry as my successor in this pulpit. We rejoice in the great increase and prosperity of the work in Ballymena over the last 16 years under his ministry. And it always rejoices my heart when I hear constantly of the blessing of God upon him and upon the congregation, as unitedly you labor in the gospel and take your stand for God in this town. We do thank our brother for his faithfulness and for his friendship and fellowship over these last 16 years. Mr. Greer heard the call of God, entered the Whitfield College, became the minister of 6 Mile Cross, saw a new church built there under his ministry. He eventually was called or moved at the call of God to Malvern in Philadelphia and was greatly used of God in building up a thriving congregation there. Man well experienced and established in the work of God. I might say that the call of John Greer to this congregation was one of the most remarkable answers to prayer that we as a session ever experienced. When I indicated to the session that I was intending to step down in retirement, we began to earnestly pray about God's man for the future. Not over just weeks or months, but over years. And I did not put forward any name, None of the session put forward any names, but we all prayed. And the Lord led us individually and unanimously, eventually, to the one man. And that man was Mr. Greer. We were sure. But God had to make his servant sure as well. And when I first indicated to John the interest of our session, his reply was this. "Mr. Beggs," he called me, "it will take a miracle to get me out of Malvern, but I will pray." So we've got a miracle here in the pulpit tonight in answer to prayer. We all prayed, and the Lord, I believe, led us together to see his purpose and his divine will in this matter. We talked to the congregation, we asked them to pray, and then we met for the meeting to elect a new minister. And Mr. Greer received almost a unanimous call, which he was led to accept. And these last 16 years have proved the truth and the reality of that call, that God was in this, and that he was the man that God had anointed, and God had chosen and called to follow on in the work of the Lord. And we thank God for a man who preaches the word, exalts the Savior, and wins the lost to Christ. We also thank God for his dear wife and for their family and the wonderful encouragement they too have been to the work here in Ballymena. So tonight we together celebrate on this 50th anniversary God's doings. God's doings. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let us give to him alone the glory and the praise that is due to his name. May God in his mercy make the next 50 years even greater, if the Lord tarries. And may this house continue to bear a faithful testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his holy word. I don't think I'll be here for the 100th. I'm sure I won't. And Mr. Greer could just about make it, but it'd be fairly tight. But I think we'll be looking down from the glory together if the Lord hasn't returned. And we'll say in their meeting for the 100th anniversary. But you know, they don't do it like the way they did it in the old days. Old people sometimes get like that. We began with the promises of God to Joshua at the beginning of his leadership to Israel. And the promises he was given. And they were given to us as well. Let us finish with Joshua as his work and life were ending. And I refer you to Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 14. Now, Joshua is now an old man. He has come to the end of the work that God had given him to do. He's now looking back over many years. And here's what he says. "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." We can indeed say with the psalmist, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." We can indeed, all of us, say amen to that. He is faithful who has promised. Every promise God gave to us 50 years ago have been fulfilled. And together, tonight we meet on this Jubilee occasion to give the honor, the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the praise alone to him, for he alone is worthy. Could I say one final word of tribute to one who has stood with me over many years of ministry, and I refer to my wife, Margaret. When I met her first, life was never to be the same again, especially in the Paisley family. It could never be the same again. But I thank God for her faithfulness and for her encouragement and support down through so many long years. She played the organ from she was 13 years of age. Of course, she's only 21 plus VAT at the minute, but that's quite a while ago. And I would like to just express my thanks to her. And of course, along with my wife, Gladys Gourley, also assisted right down through my ministry in providing music and trying to keep me in tune. And then, of course, that was quite a difficult thing to do. I want to conclude. I've spoken too long, I'm sure. As an old man, I leave the youth and the coming generations in the will of God, if he tarries, a solemn charge. It is that charge that the aged apostle left with young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I'm sure you know it well. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And surely that age is already upon us, an age when many will not endure sound doctrine. I do not need to make any comment on these words. They speak for themselves. May God be pleased to continually protect this testimony and keep it faithful to the crown rights of Jesus Christ and the crown jewels of his gospel. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your prayers, not only for me, but also for Mr. Greer, for your faithfulness and loyalty and support over so many years. And my prayer is that God will continue to richly bless you and to use you in the service of the Master. Thank you for listening.
Our Bible reading tonight is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, please. The 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. I didn't intend saying anything tonight from the pulpit, but as you sit there and you listen to what's been said, you really feel the impact that this congregation has had upon your life. And it's a joy to be here tonight, and I don't know if congratulate is the right word, but certainly it's a very touching time to be here tonight and to be able to share in this meeting with the congregation. Over 35 years ago, our family came into this church, and it's been a tremendous time for us as Christians. I really appreciated the ministry of Reverend Beggs, and I have him before me most Sunday mornings in the Antrim Church. But certainly Reverend Beggs and Pastor Greer have been a tremendous influence upon our family, and I pray will continue to be for many years. Verse 8, please, of the 25th chapter of Leviticus. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man